90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender community. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Falinski.
Brian Levinka.
Matthew Williams.
Summer Iman.
And Glenn Holt. Tonight on Queer Voices, the grand marshals for this year's Houston Pride Parade have been picked, and we're going to have a roundtable discussion with a few of them about what that means.
Hello, this is Matthew Williams. It's been a while since I've been on here. Glad to be back. And I have one of my, I think this might be the best roundtable that I think I've ever been able to be a part of to put together for the show, one that I'm very, very excited about. I've done many before that were involved all African Americans, but this one is very, very special because it's something, involves something that's never happened before, where we have all of the grand marshals that will be in this part of this year's Pride, and all of them are African American. We have with us Mr. Harrison Guy, who is the chair of the mayor's LGBT advisory board, who is represented as the male identifying grand marshal. We have Mike Webb, president of the GLBT political caucus, who is the president, also president of the president of GLBT political caucus, who is going to be grand marshal as the non-binary grand marshal. And we have Judge Shannon Baldwin, who is the female identifying grand marshal. So we've never had, I don't even know, maybe y'all can answer this, have we ever had any African Americans be
yes.
grand marshals before? There's been a couple of times when there's been African Americans, yes. but definitely never all the positions. Mm-hmm. Ally is Mr. Rosen, who is not African American, but as far as the people, the queer positions, not they were not all African American. So this is a great moment. Glad to be here, especially with some of the not so great news that's going on in the news with our community. Like we say, we talked about the transgender young lady that was killed in Dallas, and we hope to have some kind of justice for that. So in light of those kind of things and the bill that's most likely going to pass, in light of those kind of things, this is something that's kind of nice to talk about, having a group together like this. So I want to thank y'all for coming here.
Thank you for
to
having
speak
me.
With
thank
me.
You,
and I just have a little talk about why did you want to run and what do you want to get out of it? What do you want other people to get out? A group like this put together for this parade, what could this mean for African Americans in the community in Houston? And so, but I will start with if each one of y'all could talk about why did y'all want to run in the first place, or what made you want to run in the first place?
There's a nomination process. So I'm not sure if you can self-nominate, but someone else nominated me. So it was actually quite a surprise when I found out that I had been nominated. I was excited, and I probably would have run if I had put some thought into it, but I honestly hadn't really thought about it. So it was a nice message to receive that someone else from the community nominated me.
Yeah, it was interesting because this year was the first year that there was a gender non-binary category. Mm. And quite frankly, I've always just assumed that I would never be able to participate in a celebration like this, mm-hmm. not necessarily on a grand marshal level, because they were very like strict when it came to gender, right? And so when they announced that they had a gender non-binary category, I was super excited. It was very validating, especially for those of us in the community who feel like we oftentimes get left out of that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, even then, I did not see myself in that position. I'm, like most of us here, workaholics, and so I would just focus on the projects and the movement building we were doing at that time. And so when they announced the nominees, it was very exciting and at the same time kind of humbling. And because oftentimes when you do the day-to-day work that we tend to do, you're not necessarily thinking about the big picture of things.
Mm-hmm.
And the significance of what all we do and what all we fight for, seeing that represented during the Pride celebration, quite frankly, it was one of the most emotionally and empowering experiences I feel like I've had today. So it's very prideful. I'm still in shock, kind of, and adjusting to the public attention from it, but at the same time, it gives us an opportunity, at least it gives me an opportunity to amplify all the issues that sometimes don't get highlighted in that community.
Yeah, ditto what you said, what both of you have said. I was nominated by a group of friends who got together, and not only did they come up with the idea of nominating me, but they really pushed and campaigned and got me involved as well. Now, you know, it wasn't something I was ready to jump into because clearly I just spent, you know, a year and a half running and campaigning for my now job. So it wasn't like, oh, yeah, I'm just ready to run another campaign. In fact, I was shocked. They were like, oh, you have to campaign for this. Yeah. Like, they do things? Like, what do you do? But it turned out to be a really, really cool experience, a wonderful experience, more than I thought. Showing up at places, and they were very creative with the ideas that they came up with. So I just had a blast showing up and participating. And then in the end, like you said, Mike, I was really surprised at the amount of attention that it got. I loved the nomination, right? We were all, I thought it was diverse. Mm-hmm. Again, we added, you know, a non-binary position, so that was great. We were looking forward now, sort of walking the walk, not just talking it. So that felt good. It felt great to be a part of it. But winning, I thought this would be great. This is nice. But winning, and then to make the announcement, I was elated and so proud of it. And I don't know what it's going to mean to everybody else, but it's a great opportunity if we can use this platform to push more diversity in every aspect of it. We don't need separate celebrations. We need to, again, you know, do more than talk the talk. Let's walk the walk.
I want to take a second, because I didn't do this at first, but we've had Mike on before. We've had Harrison on before. Ms. Baldwin, this is your first time on here, and I definitely, in case people don't know who she is a judge over, you can say the court, because I don't want to mess it up.
So, I am the presiding judge for Harris County Criminal Court at Law Number 4.
And I want to say, if you saw any of those pictures during the midterm elections of all those black women that were running for office, and then afterwards when they all won, Ms. Baldwin was a part of that picture. She was a part of that blue wave that we needed to come in to represent the values and the things that we want to have represented on these courts.
She was also heavily supported by the Houston GOPT Political Caucus.
Yes.
Yes, I was endorsed and heavily supported by them. I'm very grateful for that, by the way. But yes, a member of the Houston 19, still one of my most proudest moments, and we had no idea. We only had a dream that the picture would go viral. That's really all we hoped for. We had no idea it would pick up the traction that it did, and it had. We hoped. Mm. We hoped. We had an idea, but no idea that it would get to be what it is. I mean, literally, I just flew out to Corpus Christi this past weekend, literally on Saturday, fly out as part of the Houston 19, speak, fly back in. My life has been turned upside down, but all for the better.
Yes, and that's why I want to take a second in case anybody don't know, didn't quite recognize the name. Oh, yes, we have one of those beautiful ladies here to be a part of the group, and she's one of the grand marshals for this parade. So that makes this, I think, even much more special.
This is definitely my having my cake and eating it too.
Yes. And so I don't know much about the nomination, how you become a grand marshal. So I didn't know that somebody else, I didn't know how the nomination process works. So that's very interesting that y'all just, oh, somebody nominated me. It just was, get that surprise. So what was the surprise? What was it like finding out when you got it? How did that work? Did they let y'all know privately?
So that was a reveal at Pearl Bar.
Pearl Bar. Mm-hmm.
So everyone found out at the same time. Mm-hmm. It was actually a really, really exciting event.
And nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it was nerve-wracking because you don't know if you're going to win. Mm-hmm. And to be very honest, the voting part of it is nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. For people who are not interested in running for things.
Yeah.
It's a little nerve-wracking.
I can imagine.
Yeah, so I was very nervous, but it was really, really an exciting moment, especially with thinking of the history and when I was first nominated, to know that there had never been a black gay man as prior grand marshal is something that I already knew that because I had researched it previously, because I'm one of those people who I literally count black people in every picture and I go through history to figure out, has any black people ever been here? It's just something I'm obsessed with. And so I already knew that there had never been a black gay man as grand marshal. So when I was nominated, I already knew the historical implications that it could have. And so when I won, that was something that was most exciting for me, because I know a lot of black gay men that should have been a grand marshal in Houston by now, especially the ones who taught me everything I know about leadership and brought me up in the community. And so I really wanted to win for them. And so it was really, really exciting for me.
Yeah, I have to echo what Harrison said. I think, one, just the experience of getting votes. I'm so used to, like, encouraging people to vote for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of something I like to feel like I've gotten great at. But to encourage people to vote for myself was very awkward. And I kind of realized for the first time a small taste of what candidates go through,
mm-hmm.
When they're trying to motivate people to interaction. But it did help me better tailor messages in my other areas of advocacy. And so I think that was one of the surprising benefits of the whole process. But at the same time, it was because it was sort of awkward at first for me, because Becca, who is one of the other nominees for the non-binary category, is such an amazing person and they do such amazing work. And so being competitive with someone who you admire was a different dynamic for myself. That being said, getting all the messages, quite frankly, from Black queer people who never saw themselves reflected in our community before and who never saw themselves in the image that our community tends to project, hearing those messages like over on a weekly basis during that process really motivated me to take ownership of this moment, because as Harrison said, it was more than just about me as an individual, but it was about us as a community. And so when they announced, I honestly thought that they were not going to announce my name, because they announced the male and the female categories first. And I'm counting the Black people, as Harrison said, and I was like, this is too many Black people already. They're not going to do a third Black person. That's going to be too revolutionary for them. And then when they announced myself, quite frankly, I was just in shock. Like, I couldn't even move. They had to push me up towards the stage, because just the significance of what that means. The community voted for three Black people to be their grand marshals. So it wasn't even in my head, it's like, let's do a diversity slate this year. Mm-hmm. No, this is what the community organically wanted themselves. And so what does this say about our community in Houston that they just elected this history slate? It shows
it means
that
they were waiting for us.
They were eagerly waiting for it, and the time is now, and maybe things have changed or changing, right? Maybe the work that we're doing is actually having an impact, not just within the LGBTQ community, but even with our allies as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. I agree. It was, for me, I wasn't there when they actually announced the winners. It was my birthday, mm-hmm. so I had scheduled to be out of town. And trust me, I had plenty of pressure. They were like, you could just change it and you know, we'll reimburse you and just, but you have to be there. You have to be there. I was like, maybe not so much. And a part of that was because, well, why would I change my birthday? And like, this would be a great present.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to change my travels, you know, for something that may or may not happen. And because you just don't know. It's so huge. Mm-hmm. And I was up against some pretty big opponents, very popular people, and they were really campaigning. Like Janie Lopez had buttons and stuff, and I just thought, you know, maybe this will happen, maybe not. And so they FaceTimed me during the announcement, and I'd already previously done a video, so then I was like, okay, if you've seen this video, it must have meant I won, that kind of thing. But that was the you know, again, the icing on the cake. And I was actually out having my birthday dinner.
Yeah.
And so she said, will you please can you at least FaceTime me? And I said, sure, I will. So I'm at the table and I'm in this restaurant. People are looking at me, but I'm like, yeah. Screaming and, you know, and all excited and happy and everything else. So it was an amazing time. But I have to agree that this may be a time where we should start listening to ourselves, and being honest with ourselves. The fact that we all won, I think, is an example of sort of the universe opening up, mm-hmm. and saying, okay, it's here, it's time, it's okay. We can all be together. Everything's going to be okay. The world's not going to come to an end because we have three grand marshals. Mm. And in fact, let's invite it. Let's welcome it. So I hope that's the mentality across the way, because it is our community that supported us. And that is incredibly humbling.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Having your identities and all of your identities validated by your community is makes me teary-eyed, because that's something as a society that we don't experience a lot, especially as queer people, but definitely as queer people of color.
Yeah, and to make, in case people don't know, listening at home, this moment is even more, this year is even more special, not only because we have the three positions represented by African Americans, but also the president is African American. who we've had on before. We have Lo Roberts, an African-American woman, running Pride this year, too. So that it is, you know, even more so a special thing to have happen. Also makes you wonder if does it, not to say she would influence anything, but, you know, when you have people of color get into these higher ranks, you start to see black people come in the other places that you need them to come. You know, when you have black people running things, you kind of have that's when you the voices tend to be heard a little bit more and better, because they know, you know, how to talk to the communities of color.
We'll come out and support. That's mm-hmm. sort of the thing. When you see someone who represents yourself, you know, it makes it a little bit easier. Certainly you feel more accepted to just step forward and say, okay, I can support this. I've always been a supporter of Pride, but not to this extent.
Mm-hmm.
I've, you know, been in the parade, supported the parade, you know, walked in the parade and all those good things. And it's all fun, you know, but never to this extent, and been able to encourage other people to participate as well. So, again, it just, you know, open the door. The universe will answer the question. You just got to keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And I think that leadership and who is leading is very telling with the way that organizations move.
Mm-hmm.
I think what typically happens when we have a black person leading a traditionally white organization is that organization is expecting the organization to stay exactly the same. They want everything to be exactly the same, but now we have a black person as the face of it.
Mm.
And I think that true diversity and inclusion means that you have a new perspective that you never had before. That means that everything should be changing. The way the organization sounds should change. Vendors should change. They're going to bring their influence and their people to the table. So things should change when new leaders take place. And I think that's true for any identity of an organization that's trying out a new identity as a leader for those organizations. So kudos to Lo. I mean, it's she has a very strong vision for a community that is very diverse. And it's one that is not diverse in just word, but it is true. And so I'm very excited to see where the organization is going.
Yeah, and I've said this in a couple of my other interviews I've did before. The greatest example I like to use that people can understand, because it's a popular show, is like Black-ish. When you look at that show, there are black people on every level behind the scenes running that show. And that show is so... It's so good. It's a really, really good show and really funny, but it explains black culture so well.
I like to say Black-ish is woke.
Oh yeah, that show, sometimes I even have some of my white friends, like, if you want to understand a few things, like if you understand black people and how we deal with our hair, there's an episode of Black-ish that talks about that. Yeah. There's an episode, because they have black people on the other side. We've had shows with black people in the front and some writers and this and that and the other, but maybe the producers are all white and they stop certain things from happening. But anyways, I didn't mean to, I'm drifting off a little too much. It just reminded me a little bit of that. I also want to say, you said you looked back in the past. Who were some of the African Americans that had at least some kind of position? I know you said there were no men. So
I think there have been three lesbians so far.
Fran Watson, okay. I know for sure.
It was, of course, our trustee, Joanna Jones, which as an ally at the time.
Reverend Carolyn Mobey, I think it's her name. She was in the 80s, maybe? Or maybe early 90s? I feel like there's been three.
Okay.
Lesbians.
I remember seeing the picture when they had all of
them. They were all women.
I was like, I remember seeing a few, and that's what I was remembering. I was like, I think they were all women. We don't have too much.
Have to do a quick plug.
Oh,
so
yeah, no,
if you want to join the caucus, you can go to www.thecaucus.org. It's important for you to join now, because we're heading into our endorsement process for the municipal elections coming up in November. And if you want to be part of the endorsement process, you have to become a member by July 3rd. And so, you become a member now, and so your voice can impact how we fight for equality during the elections.
Okay. Does anybody want to quickly say anything about what they hope to come from a Grand Marshall group like this?
Well, I hope that the diversity continues to grow. We haven't seen any young people be Grand Marshall before, so there are some areas of diversity that could still use some work. But I think that the previous Grand Marshals do have a part in where it goes in the selection process. So I'm hoping to see the diversity continue to grow.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, I want to thank y'all for coming. I have Mr. Harrison Guy, Mike Webb, and Judge Shannon Baldwin with us, and talking about this historical group of Grand Marshals, the first time where all three of the queer positions are African American. Thank y'all very much for coming, and this is Queer
Voices.
Thank you for having us.
You know,
Glenn gave me 1 minute to do the pitch for, and I was all set to do this 1 minute.
Now I've got 2 minutes. Now all of a sudden you have 2 minutes.
So I've got 2 minutes to tell you how important KPFT is. I have 2 minutes to tell you that this is an incredible radio station that has voices on that you're not going to hear anywhere else. I have 2 minutes to tell you that we survive because of you all, because that's how we get funded here. We don't get funded from the corporations. We don't get funded from Mr. Moneybags. We get funded by you all who listen. We don't get funded by the state. And I know you're probably tired of hearing all this, but it is really important that you value KPFT, and you value KPFT by picking up the phone and calling us and let us know how important this radio station is, how important it is for you to support Queer Voices, and how important it is to be part of this community. I know not everybody can be out there being an activist, and we need activists more than we ever did. But if you do your little part to financially support this radio station and support what we do, it will make a big difference. You can call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, or the best way to do it is to go to kpft.org.
And Jack, I think if you do that, you'll be surprised to see not only how easy it is to contribute, but all the different choices that you have for the way that you do it and the amount that you do it, and whether it's one time or something repeating. There's lots of options out there, and it's very easy to do. And, of course, anything that you can do is going to help tremendously.